Hello and welcome to the Venus Investor Astrology Podcast. This episode is the America Pluto Return episode. So what is the Pluto Return all about? There's loads of information on this one, it's jam-packed. So we're going to ask, what does it mean? What does it mean for America? And what does it mean for the rest of the world? Because it does have important effects across the world globally. We're going to look at some key dates, which go right through to October 2023, January 2024. We'll look at the history of this Pluto return, because this is the first time this has happened to a country in the modern era. And then we'll ask, where does Pluto go on to next, and how are we going to cope with it all? So what is a Pluto return? So a planet's return is like the planet, and this in case Pluto, coming all the way around the zodiac to where it was when you were born and where America was born, which is obviously the 4th of July 1776. So Pluto was in Capricorn at that point. So Pluto's taken 246 years to go all the way around. So it's having a return, just like you would have a, say, Saturn return. We know about the Saturn return. It's when the karmic time lord comes round and to where it was when you were born, takes 29 years. So we all heard of that 29 year where you can, oh my god, I gotta get serious now, and things start to feel a bit heavy and important, and it's time to get on with things. And not everyone takes to that too easily, but the Saturn return is kind of the most famous return that we know about. We have a Mars return, a first Mars return happens when you're two, because it takes Mars 2 years to go around the zodiac. And so when it does, when you get this powerful activation of all things Mars, and so you start to get really determined, and you get determined, you're going to start walking everywhere and take action, I'm going to start banging things and making noises, and I'm going to do what I want to do and not what my parents tell me. And so that's called the terrible twos, and that happens when when you get a Mars return. Of course, we get a solar return every year for our birthday, which is wonderful, vital energy, big blast of the sun, because it's like a mega increase. It's like the double effect of that planet. It's the planet where it is in your natal chart, and then the planet coming along to increase that power. So it's like an activation of all the themes of that planet. So it takes Pluto 240 to 248 years to actually go round the zodiac. And so therefore we call it a generational planet. It's not actually a planet. It's now a dwarf planet. But for the sake of this, we're going to call it a planet. So it's generational. Its effects are generational. You'll feel it because it stays in each sign between 10 and 25 years. That's an incredibly long time. And it's an outer planet. It's out in deep space. It's out by the Kuiper Belt. So it's taking ages to go all the way around. And so it creates this indelible experience. And you know, that is felt by everyone. It's not a personal. So it's an outer planet, not a personal planet. The inner planets are personal planets. So it's so slow moving, that and its action is so deep. And so we have to evolve with it, we have to move with it. And Pluto is concerned with what's going on the inside and how we evolve on the inside, whereas, say, Saturn is concerned with what's going on in the outside. So Pluto is the dark lord of the underworld. He is the master, and master of all things hidden and secret. So he is the guy that said, that took Persephone, abducted her, and took her away. And Demeter, her mother, was like, you can't take my daughter away. She's my joy. She's my life. She's everything. We'll die if you go. And so they made an agreement that Pluto, or Hades, could have Persephone down in the underworld for 6 months as his wife. And then she could come up for the other 6 months. And in that 6 months, when she's down there, it's like we have a winter when nothing grows, and the vitality of Earth and the sunshine and the joy is all gone. There's a death happening. But now we come to see that as the death and the birth and the recycle that happens in life, and things have to decay and fall away so something new can be reborn. And in that, there's a real evolution and cleverness of getting better and improving finally. But it does take a real challenge to let go with that. Now, Pluto is also like the chemotherapy planet. You know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, or what doesn't kill you gives you an unhealthy set of coping mechanisms that you call a personality. And if that's the case, that's where you, Pluto has to kick in and really make you change and take the changes that are right for you and specific to you, so that that kernel or seed within you of genius is able to come about. Because wherever you have Pluto in your chart, that's where there's incredible power. And sometimes that's really hard to get to grips with. You don't understand your personal power occasionally, mostly, and also when you're very young. So when you have this power, it's slightly unwieldy. You know, what do you do with it? And so that's when you give your power away. And other people, you might notice in where you have Pluto in your chart that other people are having power over you instead, because there are power shifts within Pluto. But really, because you're giving your power away, that is where you need to learn. So therefore, Pluto is making you evolve to take on that power instead. And I like to think of Pluto as the princess and the pea, because it's like this personal little irritation or idea that you have that you have to work with and no one else can. And it's like you lie on that little irritation, the seed of sand of irritation in a oyster shell that creates the pearl. And that is what Pluto does. But really, it has a very challenging effect, and it's karmic. So the effect is really personal to you. It's designed just for you to evolve in just the way you need to create exactly what you were born here to come to this planet to do. So we can't fear it. We have to embrace it, I guess. And Pluto is the lord of karma, just as Saturn also is very karmic. But Saturn is what you achieve on the outside. Pluto is how you change on the inside with your karmic destiny of how you evolve and who you become. But Pluto is the death planet. It's the death, the birth and the reincarnation, the endless cycle that we go through to really evolve. And we have create a metamorphosis of our life. And it's like where the caterpillar doesn't just change into a butterfly. The caterpillar actually turns into mulch, into a liquid. I mean, how phenomenal is that? But it turns into the most amazing butterfly from an internal death. And this is what Pluto does to us. And so therefore, it's like the compost that decays. It's rotting decay that has to go through so many processes and is almost a poison and totally unpalatable. It really is uncomfortable, and Pluto is. But yet it's so powerful that if you leave it there, it becomes a toxin. But if you put it in the right place, it then allows you to grow all your plants. And it's a phenomenal rich juice of creativity. So yes, Pluto is in charge of all toxins and poisons. Pluto is dark and, as I say, unpalatable. So he is in charge of our shadow side and the subconscious, things that corrupt us, our self-sabotage mechanisms. He's so powerful. You know, we know that the subconscious is more powerful than the conscious. The subconscious is what runs our personal lives. You know, we're running on the subconscious. Most of our actions are subconscious. And in this way, it's also in charge of our fears. And our deepest fears, it's like if we really think about our deepest fears, often we pay too much attention and give them too much power, they then play out. So Pluto has this way of helping us face our fears, but he is what our fears are. So wherever you have Pluto in your chart, it's going to be powerful, the power that you have to get to grips with to understand, a power that if you really looked into it is where you're more uncomfortable feelings and your subconscious is acting out. So it becomes this rich juice for creativity if you really do pay attention to it. And it asks you to evolve or die. Evolve or cast it away, change it or move on. Now, Pluto was actually discovered in 1930 And it opened a real Pandora's box just by its own discovery. I mean, in the 1930s, we had the rise of fascism, the threat of communism, and there was, you know, huge depression, huge global depression. But I would say, you know, Pluto was discovered in America by an American. And therefore, I feel like the depression was really felt mostly by America. Is it just the tales that come out of that depression were mostly told by Americans and America and film and movie? And obviously the book, The Grapes of Wrath, were all about it by John Steinbeck. But you know, there is so many stories and glamorizations as well of that Great Depression. But really also, I think America suffered more as well because we had the Dust Bowl famine. And that was created where farmers were told to farm across the prairie and they took up all the grasses. And then felt that the soil was therefore then not anchored into these wide sweeping prairies and they couldn't grow. The winds would come along and all the soil would be swept up into the air and so would the seeds. And so there was famine. There was no harvest. The crops were absolutely spoiled. So America did suffer more. It had this Dust Bowl famine that went right through the 1930s until they learned to work with the land rather than against it. So, yeah, so Pluto really did open up a Pandora's box when it was discovered and people had to evolve through that Yeah, and I guess many people did die and there was a dying off of so many things. Pluto was also in Cancer when it was discovered and really the home life really, really took a hit from having no money, really being in absolute poverty at that time and having nothing to eat and really having to be genius about how you would end up putting food on the table and look after your family unit. And families were decimated. So yeah, the discovery of Pluto in America really did have a powerful effect of on America. And so here it is again. So when Pluto was discovered, it was in Cancer, and Pluto is now in Capricorn. And that's again, which is Pluto's in Capricorn for America's birth chart. Now, we're looking, of course, at mundane astrology. Nobody lives 246 years, so nobody has a Pluto return, but countries do. And America is the only country in the modern era to have a Pluto return. We call the country's birth charts. It's a mundane astrology, like mundane is mundial or mundo, like the world astrology of places and countries. So America has Pluto in Capricorn, and Capricorn then is about success. It's about structures that run lives. It's about the grand hierarchy of things, you know, the business leaders, the patriarchy, the ruling, the rulers, the governance and the ruling elite, people who lead us, our bosses, our careers, what we do for money, what goals we set ourselves. And also, you know, there's in a way, that's why America, as its main structure, is a meritocracy, in that you can achieve anything and be successful in America, you know, more so than, well, it's said more so than in any other countries, you know, the land of opportunity. And whilst we see that this Pluto is in Capricorn, now with the return, we understand that we have to look at the rot in these structures and what is the corruption, what is wrong, what is the compost, what's really going on underneath in that compost bucket of America. But no other countries, as I said, no other country have had a Pluto return except for Rome, which had many. And you'd think somewhere like the UK would be, you know, quite an ancient or older country. But actually, the UK was formed in 1801. So we are due, UK is due a Pluto return 25, 30 years. So America has lasted 246 years. And its birthday is the 4th of July, as we all know, but 1776. They agreed the constitution at 4:50 p.m. They didn't actually sign it to the 2nd of August, which is astrologically significant, but for later on. But this is the 4th of July birthday. And it was when the Congress and the founding fathers agreed on the exact wording and how the Constitution was going to be written. And they had agreed some key points, because at this point they were trying to end slavery and to give the idea that all men were equal, but they were also significantly breaking from the aristocracy of England and the King George III, who had been taxing them sky high to fund his own extravagant ends that were more to do with Europe and England than they were to America. So they created the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence with these things in mind. And there were three kind of core tenets that I think are relevant still today. So the first one, we wanted to have a country where all men are born equal and they all have the opportunity for liberty, to pursue happiness, and they were allowed to prosper independently. So that's you hear that phrase, all men are born equal. And that was the first tenet of the Constitution. The second point they wanted to get across in the Constitution, that the business of governance was to protect these rights. That's all the government had to do, was protect the rights of the people. And then the third point was that if the government withholds the rights from the people can revolt. And they have a right to alter or abolish the government. And the Constitution has these unalienable rights. Now, Thomas Jefferson was the principal author of the Declaration of Independence. And he says the government gets its power from the people. And we forget that, don't we? And when the government does not protect these rights, they have a right to abolish the government. Now, I think these are real Pluto in Capricorn themes, because it's about their rights and it's about governance, which is Capricorn, and it's about the power that the government is given or uses or takes. And that power is Pluto themes, and also the abolishment of government, the threat of the abolishment, that, you know, that is, if you don't do as I say, that's a Pluto thing of it's going to be abolished or destroyed if it doesn't serve its purpose. So I think we're arriving back at these themes now. As I say, you know, Pluto's going to bring back what was happening then as or in the themes that we really have to look at. So these three points, I think, are really important to what is going to happen with this Pluto return. Now, there is the America that signed the Declaration of Independence and created the Constitution. So it is, and it is America's Pluto return. However, that Declaration of Independence was copied throughout the Western world by other countries. They used the basis of it. It was such a egalitarian and good way of governance, or way it seemed, that other countries have taken this on board, and especially in the Western world, and America is seen as the leader of the Western world. So when we talk about America's Pluto return, because of what was how it was founded, we are actually talking about the Western world as well. So the West doesn't get away from this as well. We have to evolve along with America as well. You know, it's not just one country. This is a global phenomenon that America will be leading. But also I wanted to mention that America also had an eclipse in August 2017. And that was the Great American Eclipse. And that went straight across the country, divided the country in half. And then you're already seeing now that, you know, that's like a symbolic for the disruption and the division that is happening of between people now in America and across the world. But I feel like it was, you know, eclipses are seen as portents, as omens of what is going to happen. And there we have this huge eclipse running right across the country. It's like a stab through to the heart. Now, unfortunately, though, the Roman Empire only lasted two Pluto returns, so 202 sets of 240 years. So Rome was actually destroyed. The empire was ended when the Emperor Augustus had to abdicate. He was forced to abdicate, but he abdicated, ending the Roman Empire as we know it. I mean, it continued in different forms into Constantinople, with different emperors, but Rome and the center of Rome was completely destroyed. There were too much infighting, there was too much going on, and that happened 9 years after their second Pluto return. So the second Pluto return was 461 to 467 AD, and they only lasted to 476, which is 9 years after. So that shows the effects of Pluto. It's going to make you evolve. It's going to show you what's going on underneath and bring out all the shadow. But it's then the effect just keeps giving, because once you've brought it out, it is a Pandora's box. How do you put it all back together again? It's not like Saturn, who is the master builder, who then helps you create something with better foundation. Pluto really is, as I say, the chemo planet. You know, you really are, you know, having to pick up the pieces and create something new. So this is the evolve or die aspect, that in the second Pluto return for Rome, it was not evolve, it was die, unfortunately, the death of the Roman Empire. So the first return for Rome happened in 216 to 222 AD, and that was, again, a huge collapse that happened at 235. So 13 years after the Pluto return, where competing factions were really murderous against each other. And the Severan dynasty, which actually created the Roman Empire, the Severan dynasty was a family, and all the people within that family were assassinated or murdered. Even the wives were killed. I mean, you know, can you imagine that happening to our people who govern us now? I mean, it's incredibly barbaric. And but I think it was more of a sign of what was happening at the times, rather, because at the beginning of the Roman Empire, it was rather peaceful. It went on for 200 years really peacefully until it got to that first Pluto return at 216. For the first 200 years, it was a peaceful and successful empire. So this founding dynasty, they were all murdered, assassinated, and we called it the crisis of the third century. So it really did go through a huge crisis. It was 50 years of civil war and a collapse, complete collapse of the economy. So it really had to, that first Pluto return hit really hard. And I guess we are, hopefully we're not going to go through 50 years of civil war, but there definitely is a collapse of the economy in some shape or form. We're in the middle of it now, and I think there's more to come of that. Yeah, so we are in a position where we've got to, the whole Western world has to move, evolve, or face some kind of destruction. So if you think that, you know, that some of that corruption has to come out in the Capricorn themes, you know, what when you think that America as a meritocracy, land of the free, home of the brave, you know, you can do what you want. It's the land of opportunity. And if all men are free to prosper, then how come it's only the top 1%, 2% are really, really prospering? Because there is enough money for everyone to prosper, yet it's only the 1% or 2% that really do. So therefore, you know, the ideals that we're talking about, these are the ones that need to change, that the fact that there is only 1%, 2% that are prospering in a really dynamic way. And then the other 98% have to work hard for a living to survive. And they work hard. And if you work hard like a good mountain goat and not become a loser, if you work hard, the mountain goat, you know, you're going to reach the top, yeah? But no, you don't. Not unless you are in that 1%, 2%. And so you're working hard. You work hard all your life. You retire at 65. And, you know, you retire at 65. The life expectancy is 72. So basically, you've got 7 years to really enjoy yourself at the end of retirement. It's not really a successful life, but it is if you're in that 1%, 2%. So really, that's some of the ideas, you know, that this in a meritocracy, it's got to be merit for everyone, and everyone has to have a share of the success. So that's the kind of idea that really has to evolve or come crumbling down. It's interesting to see that Pluto was in Capricorn at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, which was started in 1760. Pluto was in Capricorn, obviously, the America's birthday, 1776. It wasn't long after. But the Industrial Revolution really was the idea of this hierarchy of business, of one man or one company can buy another company. And so it's just the workers at the bottom who are just making the money for the people at the top, and the people at the top getting it hugely rich, creating a different class of people. And these people at the bottom are giving their lives up so that others can prosper. And they're really, they're just in a slavery, drudgery program. And this really, even though we might enjoy ourselves and we don't have such horrible conditions in the working life, we have very nice conditions, it's still the same slavery, drudgery program that was set up for the first Industrial Revolution. And there's that funny bit in Downton Abbey when the Dowager Duchess goes, "What's a weekend?" Because, you know, she has no idea that people are working Monday to Friday and or even Monday to Saturday and having Saturday, Sunday off. She had no idea. And they didn't, you know, they were completely clueless about what went on at the bottom. So hopefully, you know, or Pluto coming around to this Pluto return, Industrial Revolution, American's Constitution. Here's another idea that perhaps things will change. We're already having a dissolution of the working week. You know, already companies like Price Waterhouse have given, you know, summer hours where on Friday afternoon, if you've done your work, you can go home early. And, you know, in my industry, back in the, you know, 10 years ago, even then, you know, wasn't much work getting done on a Friday afternoon. So that has become a thing, but that was unimaginable when it first started. And also the idea that we commute into work, that's all dissolving now with the idea that we can all work from home. So in some ways, you know, we can behave a little bit like that 1-2%. But really now the masses are actually being able to ask questions about why aren't those big companies paying taxes? You know, and what happens when we move into digital currency? How much power are we going to give to the banks when we move to digital currency? And really, is why would the banks control us? But really, the banks do control us because it's the commercial enterprises and corporations that control the politics. And, you know, if the politics then are controlled by big business, and then when the media are controlling us and controlling us, if you look at, say, film, you know, Netflix TV series Rise of the Murdochs, highly recommend, showing you how the media can affect an election. And therefore, what's the point of voting anyway if it's all controlled by big business and the media are controlling how we vote? And then if we're controlled in the voting, and then the voting is also rigged. I mean, we used to think that the rigging of the votes only happened in third world countries, but actually, no, apparently it happens in the Western world as well. So, you know, watching films like 2000 Mules becomes very informative, and I highly recommend that one as well. So what's the point? And, you know, this is exactly what Pluto is going to bring up. And the idea then, is this really a democracy? Is this what we've created here? And I guess that's how it has turned out. And it's up to us to change things. So how long have we got to change things, and who's going to help us? So really, the effect of Pluto started with the pandemic in January 2020. Pluto was transited by Saturn, two big karmic hard pushing planets, and then also Jupiter, which expands everything. And that's the idea that created, those are the planets, the aspects that created the pandemic as we know it. But now with this Pluto return, the first hit, Pluto came past America's Pluto on February 2022. So that was earlier this year, as we're currently speaking in 2022, and then retrograded back in July 2022. And is going to go forward again in December the 28th. So it's going forward over that spot. So it's like reversing, driving someone over, and then I'm going to reverse back, running over them again, and then going forward. So this spot gets three hits in 2022. Now it gets hit again, but I feel like it's minutes away from the actual 27 degrees 33 minutes, because it only gets to 2754, and that's in October. But I think things will have completely changed by then. There's a huge gap between this last hit that's coming up in December 2022, where I feel like that we'll get more of the same, more of lockdown, more of corruption coming out, more of real fights about, with the elections and all the things that we've just been looking at. I think there'll be more of that. But when we have this gap between then and October 2023, I think things will look really different by then. And I'm going to explain why. So I think by now we're getting the feel of what America's Pluto return is happening, and the themes are evolving, as well as what we're evolving, and why the political structure, the political world and the corporate world, it's all changing right now. So that is going to continue, and we're going to get more of that in December 2022. But when we come to March 2023, there's so many more changes are going to be happening. Now, March 2023 is such a big month for dynamic change. Now, the first thing that happens in March, on March the 6th, Saturn, our karmic taskmaster, is going to leave Aquarius, where it's been oppressing the people and really pushing us, forcing us to look at how we are ruled, all those things, and how free we are. Saturn is leaving Aquarius, and it's moving into Pisces on the 6th of March. And that's a huge, huge kind of shift in the dynamic. Now, when Saturn leaves change, you can track the motion. When Saturn in 2012, when Saturn moved into Scorpio, sign of sex, it opened up a whole can of worms when the BBC launched a panorama program about the paedophile or the behaviour of Jimmy Savile. And then suddenly from there on in, for the next 2.5 years, all anyone spoke about was, you know, the light entertainment world and all the misgivings of people who who are a bit free with, paedophiles, basically, and half, you know, suspected paedophiles as well. So, so that was Saturn in Scorpio, putting those things right, really bringing people to, you know, be responsible for their actions. So then after Scorpio, Saturn moved into Sagittarius. Sagittarius rules how we go abroad, how we go beyond borders, refugees. And we had this headline on the week that Saturn moved into Sagittarius, and this poor little boy was washed up on the beach in Greece, and suddenly all we talk about was refugees and the fight of people fleeing war and coming into different countries, and that was the focus, and trying to put that right for the next 2.5 years. And then Saturn moved into Capricorn, and I think Trump became president, and then everyone woke up and everyone was feeling, you know, disgruntled and felt that they're, woke up to what was really happening. And you know, the idea as well that we've got two choices, and in most countries, and neither of them are any good. So I think that was where Saturn, you know, when we kind of started to feel like the ruling the governance wasn't really fit for purpose. So when Saturn moves into Pisces are far more, you know, emotional land, but we're not talking about what happens then, but just to show you what happens when Saturn actually moves sign, he really does change and bring up the topic for the next 2.5 years. So we're getting that on the 6th of March 2023. And then on the 15th of March, Mars, who is now in Gemini and will be in Gemini for 7 months. Now, Mars, as I said, takes 2 years in each sign. And so when it takes 7 months in when Mars takes 2 years to go circumnavigate the whole zodiac. So when it takes 7 months in one sign, we really have to sit up and take notice. So Mars being in Gemini for 7 months, it takes a retrograde from the 30th of October, retrogrades to the mid-January. So this is a huge 3-month retrograde time. And when it gets to the 15th of March, Mars will leave the shadow of this retrograde action. So we're kind of almost, we're in it now that Mars is really going to be bringing up things about the media, about tech, our connections, the way we speak, all those things. So lots going on there. So when it leaves the shadow, we will kind of be exhausted of that, that we'll be coming out the other side of this quite phenomenal retrograde, where we're going to reconsider, relook at things, and also have no energy to do what we want to do. You know, it's a downplay. It's like being in the doldrums. So 15th of March, when it leaves the shadow, that is going to be really, we're going to be waiting for that to happen. And then on the 22nd of March, Pluto, our dear friend Pluto, leaves Capricorn. Now, it's been in Capricorn since 2005. So that's a long time. And just like Saturn, you know, changes times, the themes changes. When Pluto leaves Capricorn and moves into Aquarius, things are going to change. I mean, March is going to be such a big month, and I'm quite excited to see what happens. You know, apparently we chose to be here at this time because the world was ascending. Planet Earth was going through an ascension. And I used to hear that and think, well, what's happening? You know, nothing. And now we see this. There's huge possibilities here for something big to change and something big to go on. So I think March, all eyes on March for both the Pluto return for America, but also for other things that might be going on too, and with these aspects that are happening then. So what is interesting about Pluto moving into Aquarius on the 22nd of March is that Pluto moves into Aquarius. I mean, and that's like a fresh wind blowing. It really is, Aquarius being an air sign, of course. But Pluto only spends, you know, 2.5-3 months in Aquarius, and Pluto moves into Aquarius and sits at 00 degree Aquarius and doesn't move from there. So it's sitting on the first degree, and anything a 0 degree of any sign is like the ingenue. It's the coming in to go, oh, I'm completely naive to what's going on here, and I've got to experience it all and really whiz things up. So when a planet moves into something onto a 00, it's like, wow, this is a kickstart. This is where we get to start to experience something completely new and phenomenal. So this is quite exciting for Pluto to be sitting there on 0 degree Aquarius. And why is 0 degree Aquarius? You know, it's like the hot spot. 0 degree Aquarius is where the great conjunction of December 2020 occurred, which was in the first year of pandemic, when the great conjunction is the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, which come together every 20 years. And it's a phenomenon that the astrologers will say, you know, it brings in a new era every 20 years, much like we call it the 90s, the 80s, the 60s kind of thing. It's like this 20-year cycle that goes on. And this great conjunction happened at 00 degree Aquarius, where Pluto will be sitting on now. So it feels like, you know, that was the starting point back then, and we're getting another boost of this. And of course, 00 Aquarius is the start of the age of Aquarius. So before we all start singing that song, I really feel that this is an important part, that we really are going into a new era on so many levels. There's so many signs for this. Now, the Great Conjunction in December 2020 was quite unusual, not only because it happened at zero Aquarius, it's that when Saturn and Jupiter come together in the sky, normally they're quite far apart, one's much higher than the other. But this time around, they were conjunct in a height sense as well. So they came together like, and the idea of them coming together like that is what the ancients said were the Saturn and Jupiter coming together to make like a binary star, a bigger star, that was what the guided the wise men to visit the baby Jesus. So there is this idea that we were having this reignition of this star coming around, the great star. Now, also, these 20 years, the 20-year cycle of this great conjunction that goes in groups of 600 years. And every 600 years, it'll be predominantly earth signs, predominantly fire or water. And now on the 20th of December on 2020, or 21st of December 2020, this great conjunction happened at 0° Aquarius at the beginning of the next cycle, which is going to be all air signs. So this is like the beginning of a huge cycle. And at that time we were saying, well, if this is the beginning of all the air signs and it's happening at 0° Aquarius, this is like the big kickoff for the age of Aquarius. So it was happening then, and now Pluto's coming in. It's like tiptoeing in, and it's like needling that point. It's going to sit on there and sit and not move for 3 months in after March 2023. And I think that this is the key to, one, the starting of the age of Aquarius, as I've just said, and we can get excited about that, but also the idea that when we see that Rome had these two incidences of the first and second Pluto return, which happened 9 and 13 years after the actual Pluto return, I feel like we're not going to have to wait that long for our evolution, our revolution to happen. I think there's this huge switch that takes us into a new era. So when this happens, when Pluto moves into Aquarius and those other, and Saturn moves into Pisces and Mars finishes its shadow, moves out of the shadow zone, I think we're just going to be in a completely different mood. There's going to be a different attitude around, and I think it's going to be very different. And I was thinking, so what could make it so different? And one of the things I was looking at the Starlink, a video of all the Starlink satellites going up, looking very pretty, might I add, but it looks like Father Christmas and all the snowmen, but unfortunately it's not. And then I was realizing that, you know, we're having so much space junk out there anyway, but now we're having an extra layer of magnetic radio waves, I'm not sure what they're actually called, electrical impulses around the planet. And that's unprecedented, that we've got a layer of this around us. And I was told that once we have this layer and it's, you know, working properly, that actually this is another layer. It's like having a next planet Earth having a Wi-Fi to the rest of the cosmos. It's not like we're going to be able to connect to each other on the Earth, but because the waves, you know, from our phones or whatever goes up to the satellite and back down again, we are also that whole ring of electromagnetic radiation around us is going to act like a satellite or act like Wi-Fi for us and to the rest of the cosmos, to the rest of the, you know, maybe the Galactic Federation, maybe the rest of the world, that we're going to be so much easier to contact our starseed brothers and sisters or anyone else who is out there. Without sounding like a radio DJ. So I think this could be a phenomenal change that we're looking at, the kind of Aquarian ideals of something new, something quite zany, something off planet, not really grounded in any, you know. So I feel like there may be, if it's not the actual physicality of us being tuned in, like it's like turning on a radio, like to the rest of the cosmos. If it's not that, but maybe our governments will give us full disclosure, because when they do, I think that's a real creating a difference in attitude. Just like the idea that they prevented the idea or the actual free energy. You know, when Nikola Tesla built his free energy warehouse, the warehouse got burnt down. We can't have it, because if we knew about free energy, we would trust in the idea of an abundant, we'd believe in the abundant universe and that we are creator beings. And that would change our consciousness. And we can't let that happen. So potentially there's something really big like that happening. And that's where I'm putting my money on something quite space age to happen, to change our consciousness. So not only are we having this March 2023, we also come to then that Pluto comes back to nearly Pluto 27 degrees 33 minutes. It actually only comes back to 27:54 minutes, and in October 2023. But then I was looking at them when they signed the Declaration of Independence on the 2nd of August, and that was at 27 minutes 52, actually. So it's coming back to that point when they signed it. So I kind of feel there was a real reason for them agreeing it on the 4th of July and signing it on the 2nd of August. And here we are. I think it's almost like Pluto's going to get to that point as well and light that point up as well. But I was also looking at America's secondary progressed chart. Now, a secondary progressed chart, I always read those when I'm reading people's, when I do readings. It's a secondary progressed chart is that you have a natal chart, which is the 90% chart that you will always use, which is when you took your first breath and oxygenated your blood with the imprint of what was going on in the planet at the time. So, but the secondary progressed chart is when you evolve your chart so that obviously you evolve as a person and become someone else. And the secondary progressed chart shows you that because it moves the chart on a day for every year you are alive. So if you look at America's secondary progressed chart, Pluto will then have moved on 246 days onwards. And Pluto in America's secondary chart is at 29 degrees Capricorn. Now, just like the 0 degrees on a chart, the 29 degrees is an anaretic degree. It's called the anaretic degree. And it's really where it's your last chance saloon. It's 29 degrees. There isn't a 30. It goes into zero. It goes into the zero after that, into the next sign. So the 29 degrees is your last chance to get things done. And really, when you have planets there natally or in a transit, you know, that 29 degrees is like, you got to do that now. And if you don't do it now, it's an emergency. So it often brings about a crisis. So if you're ignoring it and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, the crisis happens. So it's either going to happen to you or you're actually going to get stuff done. So the fact that the Pluto on the secondary return chart is now at 29 degrees Capricorn, I think, oh my God, some kind of crisis has to come about if we don't change. So I still think this evolve or die idea is really pervasive in other areas of the chart. And I think we're going to choose to evolve. We're going to evolve either way. But so are we going to have 50 years of civil war? Is there going to be anarchy on the street? Is it all going to be planned anarchy? And is the economy going to collapse? Is the economy going to collapse? And I'd say yes to that last one, definitely. And potentially there's going to be more anarchy for sure. 50 years of civil war. I mean, this is going to bring chaos, definitely, for at least 50 years, I should imagine, into the next generation. So as I mentioned, Pluto does move back into Capricorn and obviously back to that spot on October the 10th. But then Pluto moves forward again and he actually moves into Aquarius fully for full time on the 20th of January 2024. That's like freedom. That's the day when we can, I think, really progress into something new, and humanity will definitely be ready for some major upgrade. Now, that's why I think we won't get this lag like Rome did of some kind of revolution waiting. You know, with Pluto being at 27 degrees, I think their Pluto was sort of 15 degrees Cancer, or so it was much, so they had a lot longer for Pluto to be in Cancer before it actually moved out. But we're having this change afterwards, so I think we're going to go through quite a big change in the years directly after it as well. I don't think we're going to have to wait for something to happen for our brave new world to occur. Now, when Pluto moves into Aquarius in January, in February, straight after, Mars and Venus arrive there too. So I think there's going to be a whole party going on in Aquarius. It's started now and it's going to get bigger and better. But I have to say, all this does sound rather scary. And so what can we do? What can we do about this? And I feel like we've got to face those fears, but not really take them on board, because we embody really what is going on in the planet, especially when we've got Uranus in Taurus right now. So in that way, that we got to understand about those fears, but not buy into the drama. Pluto loves a drama. So not buy into those fears. We've got to understand that they are, but not vibrationally engage with it and keep ourselves in a really good high state of vibration. And also to let go of some of those things, because, you know, you can go down so many rabbit holes finding out what will be happening and the corruption and the stories and the, you know, there are so many rabbit holes to go down. And obviously we all go down them occasionally. But I think, you know, trying to let that go occasionally and just living your life. And I was thinking about how in terms of our daily lives, this idea of Pluto being life, death, reincarnation cycle, that every breath we have a mini death on the out breath. It's almost like potentially our last out breath. But so I felt that there was a really good yogic breath to take on, that it's like letting go of your fear, letting go of panic. And I say that in just not helping ourselves, but in helping the planet going through this process. So it's like if we breathe in and we're panicked, we hold on to the breath and we don't let out much breath. So to ensure that we're breathing in a long and satisfying way and holding a really nice calming breath, it's when you breathe in, it's to always to breathe out and just try and express a little bit more, breathe out for a little bit longer, not forcing it, but just always the out breath being longer. It's so much better and it's healthy for letting things go and being at ease to let it go and understand that mini jump, just let it go and I surrender, let it go. And I surrender with the longer out breath and keeping it really smooth. And it's like a beautiful release and a beautiful way to tell your body that you do surrender and that you are free. So I'm going to leave you with that note of that beautiful breath of breathing in, but then breathing out for much, much longer or without forcing it. So the out breath is longer than the short breath and see that as a way of you're letting go each time. So, yes. So thank you for listening. And I hope you found that interesting. I'd love to hear any of your thoughts and or any questions that you have. Please, you know, give me a ring or a message on Instagram or email. And let's, you know, now I've given you this information, we know that we've all got ringside seats and a bag of popcorn to watch this revolution that's going on. So thank you for joining me. Thank you for listening to the Venus and Vesta podcast. And I'll see you in the next episode.